You'll recognize Bob Dylan as the inspiration for Luke Fairchild, the central figure in Scott Spencer's new novel, The Rich Man's Table. The novel is told from the point of view of a son born out of wedlock to the beautiful woman who was the love of Luke's life. But Luke walks out during her pregnancy and never admits to being the father. The novel follows the son as a young man when he tries to investigate the man behind his father's myth, or as the son puts it, how did a shapeless Jewish kid from the Midwest become so famous, so beloved, so despised, so lonely, so pious, so drug-addicted, so vicious, so misunderstood, so overanalyzed? For the novel, Scott Spencer had to write lyrics similar to Dylan's overanalyzed ones. Scott Spencer is also the author of the novels Endless Love, Waking the Dead, and Men in Black. I asked Spencer why he chose a Bob Dylan surrogate as the focal point of his book.
First of all, let me say that I didn't choose Bob Dylan necessarily. I did want somebody of that magnitude. I wanted somebody whose voice and whose sense of himself and whose analysis of society and whose sense of style had impact beyond the wildest imaginings. It seemed to me that the larger the figure, the more painful and dramatic the narrator's quest would be.
Were you ever a Dylanologist? Were you ever deep into Dylan and studying the symbolic significance of lyrics and album jackets, etc.?
No, not even for a second. In fact, I don't think I had but one or maybe two Bob Dylan records when I started writing this book. He was never... I'm from Chicago, where our tastes run more toward blues and rhythm and blues, and his music really had very little impact on my musical life. But I have to admit that as I started thinking about this figure, and there's no question that he's reminds me of Bob Dylan, I was drawn to listen to more and more of Dylan's records, and by the time I was finished with this book, I was just filled with admiration for Dylan's work.
I think your book, in a way, is about how pop myths are written and rewritten.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think it is too. It's like a game of telephone in a way. It's told from person to person, and it changes as it goes along.
In showing how myths are created and how they vary from telling to telling, you have a lot of different tellings of the Luke story in your book. And one of them is told by someone named Judy Whittemore, who, as I recall, was one of, or at least purported to be one of Luke's lovers. And was she a songwriter herself or a singer herself at any point?
No, I don't think so. She was just somebody who really, really liked songwriters and singers.
Right. Okay. And let me just read a few lines of what she writes about Luke. She writes, "Man child, man cub, oh Pan with your magic pipe, how I love thee. I love thee, but yea, I knew we were doomed. I taught you to make love. When I introduced you to Allen Ginsberg, he fell in love with you and came with us when we shot for your clothes on 8th Street. He held my hand while we waited for you to come out of the changing room, and he said, 'Judy, the whole world is a changing room to Luke. Don't try too hard to hold on to him.' 'Because you want him, Allen?' I said. 'Because he was a poet and a mystic, and you could say anything to him.' He looked a little surprised by my bluntness, and then he patted my hand and said, 'Luke is a killer who has not yet found his thing to kill.'" I love that phony baloney poetry kind of way. That kind of like highfalutin. I'm a sensitive poet style of language you gave to her.
I have to confess I had an inordinate amount of pleasure in writing her little piece of memoir. More pleasure than any man has a right to have sitting all alone in a room.
Tell me what went through your mind when you were writing the memoir excerpt that I just read.
Well, let's see. What was going through my mind? I had a pretty close bead on her, and I just had a real sense of this woman, a camp follower in those early folk rock days, and filled with appreciation for talent, and probably having just a tiny bit of talent herself, enough to drive her crazy, and that sense of that sort of dramatic highly sexualized sense of self-presentation. I also had a sense of Judy Whittemore because one of my favorite Luke songs in the book, Trust Fund Mama, is written about her. So we get Judy from two directions here.
Would you read one of the lyrics for us?
Well, here's a little bit of lyric from Trust Fund Mama. Get your hands off my head. Don't push me down. Do it yourself. It's scary down there.
Does that remind you of anything Dylan has written?
Not really. Although, you know, Dylan has written so many hundreds of songs that I'm sure there's at least half of them I've never heard. So who knows? He's covered a huge gamut of subject matter and emotion.
Some of your novel is really about the power that that celebrities or rock stars have in the lives of the people who adore them. And it's a very mysterious kind of power. And I'm wondering if anyone has ever had that kind of power in your life, if there was ever a writer or a musician who meant to you what the figure of Luke means to his most devoted followers in your book.
Well, there was a time in my life, I think I was between 19 and 21, when I really felt that I could profitably spend the next few years of my life following James Brown around the country and just going from concert to concert. Not because I thought he had any particular answers for me, you know, because James Brown never really pretended to be a philosopher. He had social and romantic insights, but not a real world view that I could discern. But because I never felt so profoundly alive as I did when he was on the stage. There was some kind of magical connection between his energy and mine, and life just seemed less when I wasn't there watching James Brown on the stage. I'm trying to think. I think that really for me was the ultimate experience in fandom.
Now, people don't study Papa's Got a Brand New Bag in the same way that that they study Dylan lyrics.
Well, maybe they ought
looking
to.
For the meaning of life. So what's it been like for you to not only listen to a lot of Dylan's lyrics, but try to approximate lyrics like that yourself in songs that you came up with?
I always thought that there was something a little facile in most of the Bob Dylan lyrics that I'd heard, until I really started listening to them and began to realize how incredibly textured and brilliant and subtle and supple they are. And then I of course had to write about 10 or 12 songs for this novel, and after doing that, I really began to appreciate and admire the lyrical genius of not only Bob Dylan but people like Leonard Cohen as well. It's a tough job.
Would you quote for us one of Dylan's lyrics that you now find especially interesting?
Well, I love the lyrics to "Idiot Wind," which is one of the most bitter breakup songs I've ever heard. You know, they say I killed a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. And he goes on talking to the woman he's breaking up with. It says, "I can't even touch the books you've read."
Well, I think I'm going to ask you to end our interview with another lyric you wrote for your new novel. And this is a song that you named From Bad to Worse, recorded in 1980. And this is one of Luke's most successful songs. It was covered by Sinatra, Mel Torme, Andy Williams, ABBA, Sting, the Neville Brothers, and Eddie Vedder. you want to do a couple of verses?
The days went slowly, the night stood still. Checked the hour on a clock without hands. All I wanted was to be myself, me and my traveling band. The city so quiet, not a soul around, except for fools who quote me chapter and verse. I thought I could get over you soon, but things just went from bad to worse. Looked for you in San Antone, called your name in old Tangier. Had to find you or at least die trying, that much was coming clear. Loving you was all I knew, though love was like a curse. Had to find you before the next daylight, things were going bad to worse. Followed your trail to Italy, to a little brown town in the hills. Heard you were there with a son and a lover, living on wine and pills. By the time I was there, you were gone. The harlequin said you'd split with your nurse. So I went to the church and damned my fate. Things had gone from bad to worse.
Scott Spencer, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's good talking to you, Terry.
Scott Spencer's new novel is called The Rich Man's Table. Coming up, Ken Tucker reviews Nick Lowe's new CD. This is Fresh Air.